Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Welcome to the Detours Travel Show here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie, joined today by Greg and Lindsay. How are you guys?
I'm fabulous, Jodie. So I've just been fiddling with all my knobs and things like that. Then I realised my bracelet was a little bit, you know, just for the viewer at home, you know, so that I look, you know, perfect.
But, you do, doll, don't worry.
Oh, thanks, Jodie. But what a week it's been. Like, we had such beautiful weather yesterday, and look at it today. You just want to put your head in the soil and forget about it.
Well, look, I think that the weather's turning. Now, I'm having a great day too. I'm having a jumper-free morning. I'm in a T-shirt. I think Melbourne's weather has started to come back towards spring. I've got a sneaking suspicion. What do you reckon, Jodes?
I think you're right. I smelt spring in the air the other day. But I tell you what, in Melbourne today, there are hundreds of thousands of people wandering the streets. Now, on my way in, I was thinking, well, what's going on? They're all queuing up outside these buildings with little pink books. Well, today in Melbourne, there's Melbourne Open House, which unlocks the city and enables people to explore 75 incredible buildings for free. So people have an interest in architecture and always thought, I'd like to go and have a look inside that building. You can do it today.
I think we'll go. I think we should have Detours and Joy as an open day event today where people come and sit in
and sit in with us
with their little pink books.
Now hopefully they're little black books, Greg.
Well, that's true. Now there's one person that isn't enjoying Melbourne's open day, and that's Joy newsreader Ranjit Starr, who's been interrupted in his flight out of Los Angeles. So poor old Ranjit won't be back in Melbourne till 8 a.m. on Tuesday.
Oh, gosh.
So, look, everyone out there that knows Ranjit and is one of the team, it's Murray, who just read the news, and thank you, Murray, and all Tim Lennox's team. If you want to go and visit an open house for Ranjit who will miss the weekend, then we'll do it for him, won't we?
Never mind. Well, hopefully he hasn't got something important to be back for on you know, that he's missing out on. But that's the nature of travel, isn't it, these days? Delays and hold-ups,
honestly. And you see those. What really annoys me, though, is when, you know, there's a thunderstorm outside and there's snow and you know, there's, you know, it's just falling apart outside and they interview people in the waiting room. They're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, it should be better than this. Now, I'm really, you know, it is an act of God, you know, and I really did get annoyed with those people. But anyway.
Now, last week we had James talking about disability and the National Disability Insurance Scheme that he's hoping to establish, which will come out of a Productivity Commission report. We had a lot of feedback during the week from people tweeting, that's Detours Joy 949, and also SMSs and calls to the station. So thank you for your feedback about disability and travel and tourism. It's a very important part of why we're here and talking about
what things. Was some of the feedback that our listeners were
It's good to focus that people with disability have the right to travel, and they should have the right to access services and supports that they have in place when they're at home, so they can get out of the home and actually visit other parts of the country. So there's a bit of a connection to the tourism and travel sector and the rights of people to enjoy recreation in that area when you live with disability.
And actually, the state government here in Victoria have launched some time ago an accessible tourism plan for Victoria to try and bring the industry along to not look at modifications or changes of the way that they do things as an impost, but just better customer service. So it's not necessarily just focused on, you know, the human rights aspect of everyone being able to, should be able to participate. It's actually about just providing excellent service to meet the needs of your customers. So I think if you shift it, that mindset, it's a different way of looking at it.
Absolutely. And customer service has not been in vogue since about 1983 in this country when, you know, the yuppies, and it was very important. And I still, you know, I find it disgusting that, you know, when we have people who are handicapped that are being denied travel, and then when they get to an airport, you know, I've seen somebody treated really badly. It's like, no, don't treat people this way. So I'm really glad that things are happening. Absolutely.
Well, airports nationally are actually required to have a disability action plan that goes to the federal government. There is also an aviation access working group, which is to try and, I guess, get a bit of consistency and clarity and improvement about what are the standards. And, you know, people are travelling on multimodal vehicles, so it's quite hard for people with mobility aids and equipment often to know what's allowed on what type of vehicle. Or vessel or aircraft.
And it is difficult because, you know, I have a friend who's in her 70s, dear old Mary, and she has a frame, and it is really difficult, I have to admit, to pick up that frame, you know, try and fold it up because I'm always getting it wrong and she's always yelling at me, and you think that after 10 years I'd know how to do it. But, you know, there is difficult, and I think that there really should be more training as well for people like myself who have friends that, you know, are disabled, to actually learn how to use some equipment, you know, how to get it into the boot of the car. Without, you know, ripping off a finger, which I've almost done a few times.
All this and more. If you want to join us today, it's 0427 Joy 949 on air at joy.org.au. Lands here in the studio so we can have a chat about our upcoming guest that Jodie will tell you about in just one moment. But you can also interact with us on Twitter, DetoursJoy949 on Twitter. How cool is that?
We sure are. We're so.com.
I know, we're so.com.
Now, very shortly, we'll be introducing our guest who's joining us today for the whole hour here on Detours, right up to 1 o'clock. Joining us will be Lucy Holdsworth, who's the Outreach Manager for GVI Australia, Global Vision International. Now, Lucy has travelled far and wide. She's got not only adventures to talk about, but also the really important value of volunteering internationally to help developing communities, but also an experience for people of a lifetime.
And let's not forget her ex-job.
Wow, we'll find out all this and more on Joy 94.9.
Stay with us right till 1 o'clock here on Joy.
Our line is open for your feedback. On air at joy.org.au.
Something for everybody. Weekends on Joy.
You're listening to the Detours Travel Show here on Joy 94.9. I'm Jodie, joined by Greg and Lindsay. And the time now is about 17 past 12. Our guest in the studio today is Lucy Holdsworth, who is from GVI Australia. So welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you very much.
Oh, it's great to see you. Now, that track we played before wasn't one that you chose, but you've got some great tracks for later. But it was from the World Lounge album called Jasmon by Dimnadana. I should have got you, Lindsay. So I'm really crappy at doing that, but
with my international tongue.
Yeah, you're so clever. Lucy, your role with GVI Australia as the outreach manager, what does that role entail, and what does your organisation do?
Sure. Outreach is a term I think mainly used in the States. GVI Global Vision Australia International started in the UK, and we have a branch in America, and that's where outreach began. But essentially, outreach means reaching out to people. So it's my job to travel around Australia and get volunteers to come and work with us overseas in developing countries and do good deeds.
What made you, how did you get involved with this organisation?
I was actually, I'm a POM. I'm from London.
You're kidding.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were Ukrainian or something.
I always get mistaken for Ukraine. So I'm from the UK, and I did journalism as my degree, and I was actually an art director on The Bill. So I filmed The Bill for many years.
Did you hear that out there? The Bill.
Yeah.
That Bill.
It's popular out here, huh? It's tragically sad that it's finished, actually. It was a bit of an institution in the UK. So, and the crew, it was so much fun to work on. But I had a kind of premature midlife crisis, and I decided that I wanted to see more of the world, and I wanted to give something back And so I found GBI online and finished with the bill, finished with the boyfriend, rented the apartment out. And a month later, I was teaching English in a jungle in Mexico with GBI. And that was 4 years ago. And I have been traveling ever since.
Well, it was that quick. I mean, that is really such a culture shock to go from the bill where, you know, it would be you. Well, you would have been up at bloody Sparrow's Fart or something.
Very
to get,
much
yeah,
so.
To get on set.
Yeah.
Really long days.
Yeah.
And then that instant turnaround within 4 weeks, your head must have been spinning.
Yeah, totally. It completely and utterly. I was teaching in the south of Mexico in this place called Tulum, which Condé Nast Traveler magazine once voted, I think, the world's best beach. I mean, it's stunning. It's absolutely paradise. But we had this little hut on the edge of a jungle and on the edge of this beach, and there were Mayan ruins, and it was incredibly hot and incredibly basic and no running water. And to go from living in Chelsea and working in TV to that was, as you say, a complete shock.
It sounds a little bit like Survivor.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
So how do people get matched with experiences to volunteer? Is it purely just on your interest, or do you have to have particular skills?
No, the whole thing, the great thing about Global Vision is that it's unskilled volunteering, so you don't need any skills. So you go away with us and we will give you skills. So when I went to Mexico, I got my TEFL, Teaching English as a Foreign Language qualification, so I'm now a qualified English teacher, and I also learnt Spanish. So not only was I able to contribute to a community, but it kind of added to my resume as well.
And the motivation, did you ever envisage that, looking back, this is the journey you would have taken?
No, not in the slightest.
So where was the tipping point? What sparked your interest? What caused that change?
I don't know. I've always had a real interest in Latin America and all things sort of Spanish speaking. And I was fascinated by it, and I really wanted to try my hand at teaching. I love language. Mexico had always fascinated me, and it seemed like Global Vision really had the right morals, that they were doing it for the right cause. It's that they live and they work on all of our projects overseas, so we don't just take you away, chuck money at having a fun adventure and then leave. We're a real integral part of the community. So I believed in their methods, their morals, and I still do.
Absolutely. And it's absolutely fascinating, because I think we all go through that midlife crisis and where we just want to do something else. When you look forward now, do you think, oh, well, I'll be here for maybe the next 5 years, or what's the next sort of big thing, do you think?
Yeah, well,
leading a revolution or something?
Yeah, I might do. Maybe people for Ukrainian power. So that was 4 years ago, and I stayed in Mexico for 6 months. I was actually only supposed to go for 5 weeks, but I just fell in love with it. So I stayed for 6 months, and then I went on to Bermuda and lived there for 6 months, then Argentina for 6 months, and then Spain for 6 months. And so it has been an incredibly diverse and amazing adventure. The last few years have been phenomenal, and I don't regret a thing. However, I am quite glad to be unpacking my bags and making Melbourne my home. Melbourne rocks. Uh-huh. I'm a big fan. So, no, in 5 years' time, hopefully I'll still be here and settled.
And when you're travelling and you know, going to these exotic places, because it's always, you know, like volunteering, things like that, people go to the capital cities. Like I saw a report the other night that, you know, during the World Cup, people were directed to certain parts of the city, but, you know, the rest of Africa is in just disgusting poverty. There must be times when you do get a little bit angry about what's going on in these countries.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing with Mexico is they were getting a lot of tourism from the States, and now the press in the States is pretty much anti-Mexico. They look, there are drug wars, that's undeniable, but I think the media in America has made it out like if you go to Mexico, you're going to be decapitated by a drug lord, and that's really not the case. And so poor old Mexico was establishing a really good tourism industry, and I hope that it's not too poorly affected, because it is a phenomenal place. I was walking down a street in Mexico, just to give you an idea of how much of an impact the whole experience had on me, and I was like, this is what it feels like to be alive, because everything, the sights, the sounds, the music, the language, the culture, the food, there's just the vivacity in Mexico. Like, people don't have a lot, but they are just full of beans. It's an extraordinary place. Go to Mexico with GBI.
Actually, Greg, you and I were having some conversations during the week about, you know, if you're running an organisation or if you're volunteering or you've got responsibility for people, you know, there are important things about safety that everybody needs to think about. Now, that shouldn't be an impediment to going. Absolutely not. I mean, you know, there's adventures to be had. There's experiences that are vital. But there are safety considerations, aren't there?
Definitely. I mean, I always, if anyone's working for me and they travel, if I'm travelling, I have a mental note in my head, but if anyone's travelling, I always double check they've got their travel insurance right. Mm-hmm. I always check that someone knows where they're going, that there's an itinerary with them, but there's an itinerary back here, that there's passports, copies of passports, the documentation on a USB stick that travels with them separately to the rest of the luggage so they can access the documentation they need. But it's about not doing things off the beaten track. We had a visitor, Lucy, too, and he won't mind me speaking here about Colin, one of our visitors here to Detours, that did this journey across the state border in America from one town to one state to another in a taxi.
Oh, yeah.
And people didn't know where he'd gone. And had something happened on the other end, no one would have known where he was in the United States. And, you know, he had some tricky pathways to manoeuvre once he got to the other side. So there's a good example of why people should know.
So, yeah. Lucy, how do you prepare volunteers for culture shock to be safe, to be healthy and also respectful of local culture?
Sure. We have an incredible team of people called regional coordinators that know everything about... We're in over 40 countries around the world. We're actually in every continent except Antarctica. So we have this whole fleet of people that are have a region, a country that they are specialised in. They monitor the stability. They monitor everything about that country. So they know the region. We have field staff that live in all of the places. So we know everything there is to know about the place. So first we kind of do a little bit of vetting with our potential candidates to volunteer, just to make sure that they are prepared, that they are mentally equipped and physically. And we give them a complete debrief about the country and the area that they're going to. They don't need to speak any language other than English, but we'll give them full on training. And everything, every I is dotted, every T is crossed. There's, you know, health and safety maximum.
Very good. We'll hear more about this in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Detours Travel Show with Jodie, Greg and Lindsay, and our guest today is Lucy Holdsworth here on Joy 94.9.
Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 would like to thank our friends interstate and overseas for listening to and supporting Joy 94.9, streaming online and listening via the new Joy app.
We love having you as part of the Joy team. Now we want you to share your thoughts and ideas as part of the Joy Listeners Survey.
It only takes a few minutes and will help us find out what you all want.
See joy.org.au and follow the links to complete the survey today.
Around the world.
Around the world.
Joy 94.9.
Melbourne's most lovable station is now giving you more reasons to listen.
Saturday nights on Joy 94.9. From 7, A Touch of Pink. At 9, Full Catastrophe. From 11, Finalism. And from 3 a.m, Trance Around the World.
For the full program guide and to download the free Joy app, see joy.org.au.
The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
And welcome back, everybody. Joan, you forgot to sort of whiz me in then. You're listening to Joy 94.9, actually. And if you'd like to SMS us and tell us, well, even ask fabulous guest this morning, Lucy, about volunteering, please do so on 0427 JOY 949 or on air at joy.org.au, or you could go and have a look at the website if you don't want to talk to us and just look at all the pretty faces there and sort of maybe podcast us or something.
Well, you can get us at detoursjoy949 as well for tweets.
Absolutely. And then there's that carrier pigeon that's still floating around out there waiting for somebody to call him in.
We've been speaking with Lucy Holdsworth about her amazing travels internationally. Now, that gorgeous track we played there was one that you brought in from Mexico. Could you tell us what that was about?
Yeah, I will do. It's called Me lo dijo una guitarra, which means tell me guitar. It's actually Cuban. It's a pan of swing. But on my weekends off from teaching English, I would go to the local village and we would dance salsa through the night. It was all pretty magical, actually, yeah. Me lo dijo una guitarra.
So that degree of celebration, you really get down to the fabric of people's culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're drinking, rubbing shoulders with them, dancing with people, you're sweating, sharing experiences.
Totally.
How do you keep track of that? How do you meet people
Facebook.
And then well do you, but you meet people and you keep them to Facebook, but yeah. It's hard to say goodbye to people you meet.
Oh yeah, incredibly. It's actually given me quite a thick skin the last few years of travelling, because when you're so far away from home and you're away from your friends and your family, the people that you're travelling with become your family. But there is a kind of an understanding that they will come into your life and they'll contribute somehow, and then you move on. But yeah, I've probably made the best friends the last few years from just meeting like-minded people and people that you wouldn't expect to have bonded with from all walks of life, different ages, different countries. That in itself is, I think, probably the best thing about travelling.
Lucy, why wouldn't you have bonded with some of these people?
Well,
what you didn't expect?
Yeah, I don't know. From all walks of life, perhaps people from particularly wealthy backgrounds or all different motivations for going travelling. But when you get there and when you're living in fairly basic surroundings and you're all mucking in together, you find a common ground. So people that are out of your social group that you wouldn't normally associate with, that you're suddenly living and working with them. And, sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes you don't gel, but I have met the most unexpected friends that are very close to my heart and will be friends till the day I die, I think.
And is there a time limit, Lucy, on how long you can stay? Like, for example, because I was just thinking that if you wanted to travel and see that little bit more of the world, volunteering is really the way to go, because you're right in there with the hardcore nuts and bolts of, sure. of any community, any society. So if you wanted to, say, go to Mexico for a month,
yeah.
would that be okay?
Absolutely. So because we live and work on our projects around the world, we're there, have been there for years, so they're ongoing. We're an integral part of each community. So you come and join us when the time is right for you, and you can stay for as little as a 1 week, 2 weeks, go for a holiday with a difference, or you can stay for a few months, or you can get an internship and stay for a year. So it's up to you. You choose where you want to go, when you want to go, and how long you stay, and what you do. Whether you work with people, like I did, whether you teach or work in an orphanage, or whether you want to do something environmental conservation, working with animals. We've got research stations in the Amazon rainforest. You can go and work in South African National Parks Authority. We'll train you up to be a bush ranger. The choice is yours, really.
I'm having a career change immediately. I've always fancied myself in one of those little safari suits.
I can see it.
With a pith helmet.
Fantastic.
It's fantastic. Now, in your travels, working in different countries, various people step up and want to volunteer. They sort of leave their suburban job at home. They leave the family or the friends. They put their briefcase and their suit away and they whack on the khakis and off they go to this adventure. How many people come completely out of their range of comfort and become really successful? And what are the unexpected people you've seen that have come in, you thought, my God, these greenskins are going to fail, but they've turned out to be fabulous volunteers?
Right, I've got a few random examples. So there was, I think she was the head of marketing at Marks & Spencer's in the UK, so she had a very high-powered job, a woman whose kids had just flown the nest. So she went to Romania to work 2 weeks in an orphanage, and 8 years later she's still there and she heads up our orphanage in Romania.
Wow.
We've had an 80-year-old volunteer before, so really no time restrictions, it's never too late. Last week, Ruby Rose, the MTV presenter, just got back from our project in Laos. She's been tweeting up a storm. She loved it. So, yeah, like I say, from all walks of life.
When you volunteer, like, I can imagine it'd be really full on, like, you know, you are there to do a job.
Yeah.
Do you sort of wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and hardcore at it, or is there any flexibility, or it depends on the project that you're on, or are you, you know, expected to work like 9 to 5 from Monday to Friday?
Sure. Each project is different depending on what you're doing, but no, it's not a holiday. You're there to work. You're there to make a difference. So, for example, when I was in Mexico, we would wake up at 7 and then we would all, it was 30 of us living in this shack on the beach. So we'd do our chores, like we'd all cook together and we'd clean, and then the morning would be spent being taught how to teach as part of your TEFL, and then you do your lesson planning, and then you would teach in the afternoon. So, and that was Monday to Friday, and then weekends are your own. So they'll put on trips, like we would be taken to Mayan ruins and get to explore a bit of southern Mexico, or you're free to do your own thing, and the evenings are yours as well.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a job. You're working yeah. overseas. Yeah.
You know, when I was in southern India recently, I went to a little beach resort and I decided to go out for breakfast somewhere, and it was just beautiful, looking over the ocean and, you know, a few little cafes and restaurants, and two young women were there who, their eyes were just, you know, they're Western women, eyes wide open, just excited about everything around them. And I couldn't help myself and asked them, so, you know, did you just arrive? They said, oh no, we've been in an ashram for 2 months, isolated from the world and sort of immersed in doing service or volunteering of a different type, of a spiritual type.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were just so desperate for a cup of coffee. Yeah.
I actually went to live in an ashram in New Zealand, in the South Island, in a place called Takaka on the top of a mountain. And it was an incredible experience. We were literally at the top of the mountain, so the clouds were below us. And I too was quite desperate for my caffeine fix. So every so often I would scamper down the mountain for a bit of coffee. But you lose touch with reality when you live in an ashram.
Now that voice is Lucy Holsworth, and Lucy's from DVI International, and she's here on Detours on Joy 94.9. You can tweet at Detours Joy 949. You can find us on Facebook. But today, if you've got any comments, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au gets your emails. We'd love to hear some thoughts. So any questions for Lucy about where in the world she might have been that she might like to go and you might like to send her? It would be fabulous.
And coming up in a few minutes, we'll have another track. This one is from Bermuda, or reminded Lucy of her trip in Bermuda. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Tell me that no right. Me say me burn it and pass it on the right. Me say them coming and them look and down the dread. Them say, hey, naughty dreadlocks, where you come from? You must have two stick of sensei under your thumb. Oh, whoa. Stand up front, volcano sound and I burn me ganja pipe. Babylon, come and tell me that no right. I said I burn it and pass it on the right.
This is the Detours Travel Show here on Joy 94.9. And, Pete, here you are. Hello, welcome.
Here I am, talking about, I've even got a soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. Little bit of reggae, man.
I'm liking a bit of the reggae. You're talking Bermuda.
And
sitting out there sort of getting a bit salivating in the mouth, because Bermudan food or Caribbean food is very spicy and it's got a lot of sugar. It's sort of similar to some soul food almost. I love Caribbean food.
Is it sugar or jaggery?
Well, sweet.
Same. Yeah. So what's coming up on Cravings?
I have Paul Jusen here. Paul, we've met before. He was at the Outpost, but he's moved on and is renovating a building in St Kilda. It'll be open in about 4 weeks, called Fitzrovia. Liam Quinn is here from Ice Cafe. He's a nice kid. He's my co-host. And Matt Bayer, who was the guy that got thrown off MasterChef for having a telephone, is coming in to dispel some of the rumours around this cheating sort of stuff.
Okay.
So strap yourselves in. And all mash-up music of Amy Winehouse. It's my little tribute.
All right.
See you at one.
Thanks then. 1 o'clock today, Cravings with Pete Dillon here on Joy. Now, Lucy Holdsworth is joining us in the studio today, and tell us about that gorgeous track.
I know, isn't it great? It always does the job. It's called Under Me Sensi by Barrington Levy. I have no idea where he's from. I doubt very much that he's from Bermuda, but I listened to it a lot when I lived in Bermuda, so that's why I chose it.
So what were you doing there?
I was working in the theatre there. I wrote a play and I was dressing the sets for some other plays and I was learning how to sail and I was drinking rum.
Of course.
Yeah.
And what is it like to live there? What's the temperature like? What are the people like?
Oh, it's a crazy place. It's not actually part of the Caribbean, although people think it is. It's just in the middle of nowhere. Of course, Bermuda Triangle fame. It's a tiny little island. Everyone pretty much knows everyone. There's a massive expat community there, so offshore banking. Not that I know what that means. It's beautiful. The beaches are, the sand is so fine that it's kind of pink. It's stunning. It's very, very hot in summer. As I can see all my friends there on Facebook now, lots of time on boats, drinking rum, sailing. It's all good. It's a pretty beautiful place to live.
And you're writing plays. What inspired you to do that? What was the play about?
Yeah, well, I did journalism at university, and I started off by working for Cosmopolitan UK magazine. So writing is a bit of a passion. I've always dabbled with creative writing, and then I thought I would, so I volunteered at the theatre there, and then I wrote a play and we put on a few productions, and I did all the art department stuff, building of the sets and doing the decor for a few others, and lots of fun. If anyone knows what it's like to work in a theatre, they'll know all the giggles that go on behind the scenes. Yeah, it was a good time.
I want the book. I'm waiting for Lucy's book to come out.
Now, Lucy, I have to ask, from your experiences, what has been probably one of the saddest experiences that you've had throughout your volunteering career?
Oh, gosh. I suppose seeing sad... Do you know, nothing really springs to mind. The majority of emotions have been just pure bliss and joy. Like, I don't want to put rose-tinted glasses on it. Of course, there are some sad moments, like we mentioned, saying goodbye to friends that have become so incredibly close to you. That's pretty sad. Leaving the community, leaving my kids in Mexico was pretty tragic. But, you know, life goes on. And, providing people continue to volunteer, then the projects go on as well. Nothing. I don't look back on the last few years and think sad about anything. I just think, let's crack on and do some more.
Good on you.
Now, we've got a messenger from someone listening to the show, and thank you, Gary, from Yarraville. Can people living with chronic illness like HIV, asthma or arthritis, can people with chronic illness do this type of volunteer work?
We do ask for doctor's notes for some of the jobs, especially if it's a more physical job. Like we have projects where we're monitoring sea turtles and doing sort of night works and lots of research and lots of marine work, lots of diving to do coral and fish research. So for things like that, you'd need a doctor's note saying that you are capable of doing it. Specifically with arthritis, I mean, unless it's a handicap to stop you being able to physically do the manual tasks, shouldn't be any problem with it at all. But
and the same, of course, would be for HIV. HIV is just a chronic illness. So if you're able to do the job, you should be able to do the job.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you.
No problem.
I think it's bloody marvellous. You know, I've just been sitting here thinking about, for people out there who may not have, want to go to far off places but just don't have the cash, don't have the resources, this is the absolute perfect way to do it. Because when we travel, I mean, I've always wanted to go to New York, but I'm not going to New York until I have the money to live in New York for, you wouldn't probably have projects in New York. But, at the same time, to sort of get out there and really, feel the juices or whatever of a culture, this is the perfect way to do
sure.
it.
Sure. I mean, I should say that there is a fee involved, that you pay a certain amount of money to volunteer overseas because it's unskilled volunteering, and then 70% of that money goes to the community that you're helping. because our orphanages, absolutely, we need people to help run them, but they also need the money to turn the lights on, to build the infrastructure. So there is a fee involved, but what we're at and what I'm responsible for setting up is doing fundraisers all around Australia, mm-hmm. so that people can raise the money to get sponsors to fund their trip overseas. And it's a great way to really build up the momentum to go away. So I'm going to be doing fun runs and sausage sizzles, and I'm open to suggestions, actually, if anyone wants to suggest to how to do some fundraising.
0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. Suggestions for Lucy about fundraising.
The sausage sizzle is always on.
There's a lot of $2.50 sausages that you've got to sell to make a buck. Lucy, I reckon, maybe one of the approaches, and this doesn't just go for people who want to volunteer overseas, but people who have a passion about a social justice issue or a charity or a cause, instead of getting all your friends and family giving you crappy gifts that are just landfill, give the cash to go towards it.
Totally. Mm.
So I reckon, particularly if there's milestone birthdays or instead of people bringing things to as a housewarming gift, what about shifting it and saying, actually, if you give me the money to go towards this experience, then there's a ripple of benefits that go far beyond
Absolutely.
A piece of crockery that's going to live in the cupboard.
Exactly.
So I reckon maybe that's an approach.
Say no to crockery.
You're a genius, Jodie. That is a really good idea. Brilliant idea.
My relatives know well and truly that I sometimes when I get given gifts, this sounds awful, but I'm going to say it. I just say, thanks so much, it's going to the op shop. I don't need anything.
Yeah. I don't
need anything. I don't want anything. Don't buy it for me.
I'm going to be checking out your nature strip for the next hard garbage.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed and fortunate, but I don't want for much. But I tell you, we have a listener, Ben, who says, hey, Lucy, sounds amazing. Where do you think I should go if I want to do some construction? I'd like to go somewhere tropical. And he says, P.S. cute voice.
Thank you very much, Ben. If you want to do some construction, absolutely. It's all throughout Africa we're building orphanages. Then we've started building bakeries for the orphanages so that the kids can bake their own bread and sell it so they can sustain themselves. So Africa, if that's a suggestion for you. Also our communities in Central and South America, we've been working there for years now, and so we're quite a part of these villages. So we're going into the homes where they've just been cooking in their homes on open fires with the baby sort of slung on their shoulder, and we've designed stoves, so we're building stoves in each family's house, and we've increased life expectancy for the family for 20 years.
That's fantastic. And that's because of the reduction in the carbon monoxide
of
the
fumes.
They
were breathing in all the smoke, and plus they were burning themselves. So
simple health needs can just make a big difference, can't they?
Oh, yeah, huge difference.
Now, my passion's around sexual and reproductive health, so do you ever have the opportunity to volunteer for people that might be working in the nursing or medical field?
Anyone who's interested in healthcare, I would suggest go to our projects in Africa. We're doing a lot of educating there, yeah.
Lucy, this is just an amazing journey today.
I've enthused you, haven't I?
Now, these are all the positives. Have there ever been disasters?
Yeah, actually, I had the last time I mentioned GBI, but I had an amazing experience with them in Mexico. And then when I went after Bermuda, I went to live in Argentina, and I went with a different organization. And I was 29, so I wasn't a kid, and I spoke Spanish at that stage because I'd learnt it while I was in Mexico. But the organization I went with, they just told me to go to meet them in Buenos Aires, which is an amazing city, very large, very difficult to find your way around. Went there, they weren't there. I had to get a bus to the other side of the country where I was posted in Mendoza, and they forgot to tell my host family that I was coming, I wasn't collected the other way. So if you want to volunteer overseas, my advice to you would be do your research. Go with someone reputable. Make sure that they've got a transparent policy so you can see where your funds are going. There are a lot of choices out there. So do your research, which Aussies are really good at doing.
What did you do in Mendoza? You've arrived. What happened?
I kind of figured that one out. I lived with this Argentinian family, and they didn't bank that me and the mum of this host family would get on really well and we would chat in Spanish. And I told her the amount of money I had paid this organisation, and we worked out that she'd got a minute percentage of this, and neither of us could work out where the money had gone. So I actually left the organisation. I got a job on a magazine. I was working on an extreme sports magazine.
As you do.
As you do. Does sound a bit random, actually, in hindsight. And yeah, my first posting was to go up into the Andes and white water raft down through the river, and my white water rafting guide, Roman, asked me on a date, and then we started going out, and I lived with him and his family up in the Andes for 7 months with our dogs. It's all rather nice.
Fantastic. Now, if you're listening and thinking, oh my gosh, I would really love to volunteer, but I just haven't got the time, the money, or the ability at this point in time to go abroad, I think we need to remember there's heaps of great volunteering opportunities in Australia,
sure,
and locally, and even with Joy, lots of community organisations. There's a great website, Seek Volunteering, where you can actually search on different types of volunteer opportunities, and this year is the 10th anniversary of the International Year of Volunteering. So you can jump online. There's many, many sites. One of them is volunteer.com.au, but there's a bajillion out there. Pro Bono Australia, Good Company, lots of different non-profit websites that tell you how to get involved, what your rights and responsibilities are, which is really important. And there's also some changes across Australia's work health and safety laws that now encapsulate and encompass volunteers as part of that workforce. So that's going to have some challenges, I think, for some non-profits about how they view the safety needs for volleys. But there's also some great checklists and resources. So there's plenty of help and ideas out there. So check it out.
I think it's pretty special. I like the, you know, the mental checklists that come. Give us some tips, 10 tips of what to do and what not to do from the expertise of your comfortable chair here in the Joy Studio.
On what to do while you're away, or when choosing?
When choosing and while you're away.
Okay. So you're contributing, you're making an incredible difference into the lives of others, but you want to get something out of it yourself. So if it's something that might help you in your career, it can definitely contribute to your resume. So, you know, if you're interested in working with kids or with people, international relations, community development, teaching, then obviously do a community-based project. If you're interested in the sciences or working with animals, marine biology, then go for something that's more environmental, tailored to that one. So do the thing that interests you the most, and it might benefit you with your career as well.
That's from Lucy, who will be entering the next space shuttle flight to the moon. Because she hasn't done that yet.
Help, the Moomin trolls are revolting and they need a new kitchen. She's up there. Fabulous, Lucy. I just envy you incredibly because you've had such an amazing life so far, and I really do know that you're just going to have these adventures forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, I'm a fan of an adventure.
Yeah, good on you.
Should we go for one now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Just around the corner. Just around the corner for a coffee, though, Lucy. You know, it's cold out there.
I will have to have you back again. Would you promise to come back another time?
I promise.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Lucy. And if you want more information about the organisation Lucy's from, you can jump online, gviaustralia.com.au, for more information. Stay with us now. We'll have the news very shortly then. Pete Dillon with Cravings. Next week, we are going to be interviewing a very remarkable young man, Andrew Follows, who is blind. He's a photographer. He has a guide dog. He's going to Edinburgh for the International Festival. He's very, very interesting. So we're looking forward to hearing more about his adventures here on Joy 94.9.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Bye for now. I've been around the world.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.